And the unclean spirit convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice came out of him. In the name of Jesus, amen. What do you think he said? The unclean spirit. We're told convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice. So what do you think he said? I mean, I suppose it could be like just, or something like that. But usually in the Bible, when someone cries out with a loud voice, those particular words, they cry out something. So what do you think it was? Is it, ouch? Or, this isn't over? Summoning the yet-to-be creator Arnold Schwarzenegger with an, I'll be back, or something like that. I don't suppose we'll really know unless you're fortunate enough some eternal day in the golden Jerusalem to come across someone who was there in Capernaum to hear it and see it all. You'll probably never know exactly what was said. And that's actually just one of the many things about this kind of strange scene, a tone-setting scene in some ways, in that after Jesus' baptism and temptation, this is the very first thing that happens. It's kind of a lot of strange things in this text. Like, for example, what is the unclean spirit doing there in the synagogue in the first place? That actually might be the more interesting question than what he said on the way out. For you look closely, this was actually brought to my attention by someone in Tuesday morning Bible class, 10:30 in person in Zoom. Come join us. Brought to my attention by someone in that Bible class that, you know, the Spirit didn't have to show up. He was already there. If you read closely again, when Jesus comes in there and then immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit crying out, already there in the back pew maybe with the rest of the good Lutherans. The image I have is something like this. You know, you hear those stories. I imagine it was true back in the Soviet era. In the Soviet Union, in the lecture halls, the university, supposedly there'd be a KGB agent assigned to every classroom, every lecture, just to make sure that the physics professor up there did not go off script and depart from the party line and start spewing something else. Just got to sit there and listen, probably a pretty boring job most of the time, until this one day, I imagine, it's like the physics professor up there, all of a sudden he moves from F equals M times A and P equals F times whatever it means, moved from that to starts in about his conference in Chicago that he'd been at, where he discovered this glorious thing that only capitalism could create called the Big Mac. And as he's about to talk more about the Big Mac, KGB agent, startled from his stupor, jumps up, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't talk about those things around here. Physics guy up front, you might think you're in charge, but everybody knows I'm in charge here. So yet, to your all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. And so that's what I imagine here. In this synagogue, maybe it's like there is a demon, an unclean spirit assigned to every synagogue, which is generally a pretty boring job because generally the guy up front is just spouting the party line. Generally the guy up front is maybe just going on, maybe trying to impress the folks there, quoting the old fathers, what so-and-so said, and so-and-so said, and so-and-so said. Keeping with the party line, which is pretty much make sure you keep your nose clean. At least cleaner than the next guy, so there's always someone about whom you can say, my nose is cleaner than his. But then one day, something different. Then one day, Jesus. And not the same old party line, but something new and different. A teaching with authority, we're told. A teaching that authors something new. A teaching that says the reign of God has come. And it's not about quoting the old books or keeping your nose clean or separating the goodies from the baddies. But it's all about big mercy and more grace and this wide open welcome and this forgiveness that goes on and on and on. A forgiveness that cleanses not only your nose, but eyes, ears, hands, feet, your heart, and even your soul. And with that, whoa, whoa, whoa. With that, the unclean spirit, who knows how long he'd been there listening to that, and in a stupor, like finally he hears something different. He says, whoa, 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 we'll have none of that here. What have you to do with us? Imagine it like this. He comes up front and, you know, Jesus is over there. He's like, what do you have to do with us? By which he means everyone gathered there in the synagogue. Yet, Jesus, none of that. We're doing fine here with our little clique. We're doing fine here with our same old party line. Get away from us, Holy One of God. So do you think there's a demon assigned to Emmanuel Lutheran Church? Maybe somewhere in the back? I kind of hope not. Probably the easy, right? With given the choice between demons and no demons, this is your wisdom for the day. Choose no demons, you know. But also because just from my perspective, you know, I think I've preached from this pulpit somewhere around 600 sermons. And never once, mid-sermon, have I heard any shrieking. Never once has an unclean spirit taken control of someone and said, what have you to do with us, Holy One of God, mid-sermon? And I'm wondering if that's the case. What if the reason we've had no shrieking around here is because nothing has been said, which is troublesome enough to get a demon out of his stupor? It's worth thinking about. Maybe one of the reasons we don't have demons standing up and shrieking in our churches is because there's not enough stuff going on in our churches that gives the demons reason to cry out. Maybe. Or maybe it's just that the demons are waiting for a more opportune time at Emmanuel Lutheran. But whatever it is, I know these unclean spirits, these demons, they're real. In fact, that might be the biggest thing I take, the biggest thing we might take from this first part of this tone-setting scene. That the personal forces of evil, forces aligned against the reign of God and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness and his healing are real and already here, already present. Did not need to be summoned from the seventh circle of hell to show up in Capernaum, already there. And so already here. Maybe there was a time in your life when you thought more about that kind of stuff. For a lot of people, maybe when they were younger. Maybe a time when you were afraid, even, of these demons, the devil, unclean spirits. I think that's true of me. I remember a summer camp I went to just a couple times as a kid. I didn't like summer camp much. Maybe this is the reason. Remember the counselor who stayed in our cabin telling us a bedtime story this one time about a horrible car accident he had been in a few years before, in which several people were killed. And he told us that just before his vehicle went into a tailspin on the highway, he saw this little demon in the upper left-hand corner of his windshield laughing at him with this diabolical, hellish laugh. Now, he told us that just before bedtime, which was 11. Didn't sleep. Again, said I didn't like summer camp very much. And maybe that's the reason. That's about the only thing I remember about summer camp. And for years, and frankly, sometimes even now, I still wonder if I'm going to see that little devil. If not in the corner of a windshield, in some window, or on my computer screen, or on my phone that I'm using to record the sermon. If he's just gonna show up and then something as horrible is gonna happen. And that might sound silly, but maybe it's not. And maybe the reason that that camp counselor thought it was okay to deprive these 11-year-olds of a night of sleep 40 years ago was to instill in them and me and the rest of us that the demons are not silly, but they're real. And they're always around. They're always there. And they don't like Jesus. They don't like mercy and grace and forgiveness and healing. And if that talk, that sounds weird, that is a silly pastor, as 40 years ago, it passed those things. If that's all a little too Dungeons and Dragons or Stranger Things-y for you and sounds silly for a modern adult, well, maybe right there is our reason why those demons aren't shrieking out today. Because they figured that they're most powerful amongst those who think they're most unreal. But even if you can't right now make room for one of those personal demonic powers in your 21st century brain, maybe for now it's enough for you to recognize something only the truly silly could fail to recognize, and that's that there are powers and there are forces in the world which are bigger than you, which are more powerful than us, things that we are powerless to control, which wreak havoc and darkness among us, ones that are easy to name. Depression. Addiction, anger, shame, regret, guilt, lust, the compulsion to compare yourself to other people. All those things which anyone with eyes open recognizes it would be the height of stupidness, even cruelty, to say to people who are bound by those things to simply say, well, just stop. All that bigger than us stuff, stuff over which we are powerless and feel ourselves pulled this way and that, all the stuff, that's the stuff in which the demons traffic. And it's the stuff over which Jesus of Nazareth is Lord. Be silent and come out of him. And convulsing it with a shriek, ouch, whatever it was, he came out of him. The demons are real and Jesus is Lord. That's the text. You know, there's two forms of our baptismal liturgy, which we kind of have the option to use that are in this book right here. We always pick the one which is in the hymnal, but I think I'm going to start using the other one. It's the one which Luther actually contributed more to. It has this line right at the beginning, after the pastor says, the word of God teaches that all of us are conceived and born sinful and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. It then directs the pastor to put his hand on the head of the one being baptized and say with the sign of the cross, depart thou unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit. Powerful, huh? And I think I'm going to start using that one, because maybe we need more reminders of that kind of thing. Reminders that the demons are real, and they're around, and they're big, and that God is bigger, and Jesus is Lord. The more I think about it, maybe that is be a good way to start every single day. Every single day that each of us wakes up beset by things, forces, name them however you want, that are bigger than us, that are more powerful than us. What a better way than to look in the mirror and say, depart thou unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Or maybe again, the more I think about it, maybe this is the reason why the demons aren't shrieking out mid-sermon. Maybe it's because they did show up today like they have been every single Sunday, like they're supposed to, because it's their duty and they're ready to go. They grab a coffee and a cookie and they're sitting in the back there ready to shriek out should anything be said which troubles them. But then some guy like me in a white dress gets up front, puts his hand on the baptismal font and says, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the demons go fleeing, disappointed again, just like back in Capernaum, ready to settle in, then bummer, Jesus shows up. Children of God, before this all gets too long and you stop paying attention, know this, Jesus always shows up. The demons do too. They're pretty much everywhere, already around. The demons show up in all those places where we know and experience and feel ourselves most powerless. But children of God, know this too, that Jesus shows up. And Jesus is bigger. And Jesus is Lord. And you belong to Jesus. And you are marked with his name. And those demons have no power over you. And they will not define you. And when those demons show up and they test you, and even when you might submit to their dark ways, Jesus always shows up with what he's saying to you right now. And he says, depart, thou unclean spirit, you are mine. He says, depart, thou unclean spirit, you are forgiven. He says, depart, thou unclean spirit, child of God, come and eat and drink the food that makes the demons sick, the devils flee, and makes you strong. Depart, thou unclean spirit, heaven is yours, and one day the demons will be no more. You know what I think the demon said? I think he said, yes, Lord, and trembled. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.